Gee, galair to fall your oath, could you know, Gala can shout, or chin naked shock knee, or imagine shout, donuck. Welcome to another edition of the Gaelic Hour here on this Sunday morning, coming to you live from Murray Street in Ottawa. And it's a little bit foggy out there, but isn't it wonderful weather after we got rid of the humidity with that thunderstorm on the other evening. Hopefully that the rest of the weekend is going to be a fun weekend for everybody. We have an interesting programme put together for you this morning, as we always do here on the Gaelic Hour. We're going to open the show with an interview with Ashley McIsaac that I got last Sunday when I was out at the Dragon Boat Festival. And then we're going to have the pleasure of sharing the microphone with Eamon O'Loughlin in studio. And Eamon is up from Toronto. He hosts a programme on Fairchild Radio. He was in town for a wedding yesterday, and we'll fill you in a little on what was going on yesterday here in the city. In addition, I have to tell you that there's, as usual, a lot of activity going on. Mary Kelly came up to me yesterday to let me know that the seniors who get together on Tuesdays at 11 until about 1:30 at St. Margaret Mary's, that the coming Tuesday is the last get-together until September. So if you're going to head out there, head out on Tuesday, and that's the end of it then, into the summer and time to relax. And of course, the Gaels have their Gaelic football summer camp getting underway, and that's July 6th to 10th. And that'll be at the Jenner Burns Park. And there were a lot of the guys from the Gaels down at Pat Kelly's wedding yesterday. And the contact theirs are Kerry Beeching, Dermot Ganane, and or Bill Wright. And if you need any information, don't be shy about sending me an email, and I can fill you in and pass it on if you need to. Of course, Almond Celtfest is coming up, and we will have Jim Mountain here with us next Sunday morning. Jim will bring us up to date on that. And the Gaelic Hour is now on Twitter. We're trying to put little tweets up there, and the web address for that, of course, is twitter.com/forwardthegaelichour. And I want to congratulate again Sarah Thornton, who was the first representative going from the Ottawa Centre for the Rose of Tralee. And Sarah will be going to Tralee in August to participate in the 50th Rose celebrations. The census, do you remember the 1911 census? We covered a lot of that, and there were four counties up online originally. That was Antrim, Down, Kerry and Dublin. Well, five additional counties have been added, and that is Dublin, Cork, Galway, Wexford and County Offaly. One of the things that surprised me was when I did a search on my name, I actually found that there were Cummertons in Wexford back in 1911 that I knew nothing about. But enough chatter out of me. We're going to go straight into an interview that I was fortunate enough to nearly accidentally trip upon last Sunday.
You're listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM, and I took the opportunity to drop out to the Dragon Boat Festival and find Ashley McIsaac was on stage entertaining the crowd, and they were
trying my best.
Welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Thank you very much for having me.
And you're here in Ottawa this weekend for the Dragon Boat Festival.
It was just sort of out of the blue I got asked to do this. I haven't had any involvement with it before, but it's a wonderful event, and I think next year they're going to open the concerts up and not have the tent, which would be really nice so everybody can sort of take part in it. But it was one of the standard under the tent summer festivals.
So Ashley, you're a household name in many aspects of when it comes to Irish Celtic Gaelic music, because you cut across a lot of genres. Where was you must be playing music since you were a toddler?
Yes, I started out step dancing as a very young kid, and that progressed to taking fiddle lessons starting when I was around 8 and a half. My dad had won the lottery that year and could get me a fiddle then. So I started lessons then and played probably within 3 years my first square dance. So when I was 12 years old, I started playing quite a few dances. My first gig out of Cape Breton was actually at an IRA club in Detroit, and
that's the Internal Revenue.
Right. I wasn't in any way, and still have no affinity for the IRA, and nothing against any of your listeners that have whatever particular political view, but we showed up, it was Valentine's Day, and here we were, and all over the wall were hearts with the names of people who were still in prison, and it was an event for that. And I think it was Mickey Gavin, is it, from Toronto, or the Gavin fella, I forget his name. Anyway, he had asked me to come play, and I played that show. So ever since that, I've done quite a few Irish things throughout the States. And in fact, I'm actually going to move to Windsor now because of that. I remember those days fondly when I was a kid starting out playing.
Right. So when you took up the fiddle at an early age, at that stage you must have found it was something in your blood.
I'd heard it from birth, and I had a grandfather who sang Gaelic songs, and I never heard him play the fiddle. By the time I was a kid, he wasn't playing anymore. But I learned to sing some Gaelic songs as a little kid, and then the step dancing, and then the fiddling, and my father today still plays as well.
Right. So for many people who play music, very few actually get the opportunity to embrace it as a career.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
You're one of the lucky ones.
I decided when I was around 14 years old that I was... I'd started getting paid little bits for money then and doing square dances. And I sort of started thinking, let's see what I can do with this. At the time, the local industry was a pulp and paper mill. And my dad, in the early 80s, was, you know, a well-paid electrician there. But that still turned out, after taxes, maybe $350 to $400 a week. And I was starting to make $100 a night playing dances. So it looked like a prospect that was a possible way to make my living. And by the time I was 16, I bought my car and got my license and started traveling a lot and making a record. And then after the last year of high school, I just decided to go for it and see what I could do with it.
Not all the music that you have on your albums are, some are originals and some are covers.
Yes. So, well, most of the fiddle tunes are covers.
Okay.
Because they're all traditional pieces of music that I put my spin on or
right. But
you've have arranged.
You've original work on there as well.
Some, yeah.
The creative aspect of it. What drives what motivates?
Well, I have a very good friend in New York who I've watched compose some of the greatest works of modern classical music in the world, and I've learned how composition takes place. So I know a lot of people get inspired to write music, but very rarely do I get inspired. It's more often if I have a project I want to work on, I've learned how others do it. They set a schedule just like a regular job. You set up and you work at it and you work at it and you work at it until you get what you think is going to be working. And that sometimes means an album takes 2 years to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And it sometimes means that you finish the song in 5 minutes.
Right.
So there's no particular way to go about it other than to have a schedule.
But you're saying Sleepy Maggie, tremendous effort put into to the final product.
We did, over the course of... almost 20 months, 6 months of the recording was on that one song. We were in for a week at a time. We'd work out the bass line and get it all done. A month and a half later, we thought we had it great. We listened to it, we go, no, it's not right yet. We put it away for a couple of months. We'd start again. Whole new bass approach, whole new drum approach, whole new producer. So in the end, there was a good 6 months recording on that, and obviously it paid off for me in the end. And So...
Before you got
that started out from Gordy Sampson's idea. Gordy Sampson, who's written Jesus Takes the Wheel and a lot of big Grammy Award winning songs in the last few years, that was he had this idea to do Sleepy Maggie as a track. And if I'm not mistaken, he might have attempted or asked Natalie McMaster at the time to do it, and she wasn't interested in doing anything modern.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working on a record with Gordy, and he said, I have this idea, I don't know how we'll do it. So from the first week of recording with him, that turned into, as I say, 6 months with different producers and different arrangements to get that finished.
Well, this is a good opportunity to take a short break and listen to Sleepy Maggie. And you are listening to The Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Coverton chatting with Ashley McIsaac.
Oh,
Sleepy Mag is an Irish fiddle tune. The people say that the reels were invented by the Scotch and the jigs were invented by the Irish. I've heard people in mm-hmm. Ireland say that as a tempo tune. And obviously Strathspeys came from Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
But as a reel, that is an Irish reel that I know of.
Now, when you say people in Ireland, have you've been to Ireland?
I've played quite a bit in Ireland, yeah.
How did you find that experience?
Great. I've had, 9 times out of 10, great luck. I like a lot of touring bands in Ireland. I've had the band surrounded by a swarm of young hooligans in Dublin.
Okay.
You know, that type of thing has happened. But I've performed the small venues there, the Mean Fiddler and Whelan's, I think, was one. I don't know if Whelan's is in there or New York, where, but another Irish club. And I've done The Point recently, which
All right,
is in Dublin.
Yeah.
And... of course, I've traveled over much of Ireland with Paddy Maloney and the Chieftains just on vacations and
right,
going to visit
yeah.
them and stuff.
So yeah,
I like
yeah.
Ireland, yeah.
Yeah. And likewise...
I grew up listening to Irish music. As much as Cape Breton fiddle music is my focus, the way we got it was a radio program on Sunday nights from 6 to 7 called Highland Fling.
Right.
And after the Highland Fling, Paul Davis... a whistle player from Ireland who's lived in Cape Breton for many years, he had a show on after that was the music of Ireland.
Okay.
So if we wanted to be real kinky, we'd keep listening and see what the Irish people were doing
right.
and
right.
learned about Altan and different Dedannan and bands yeah. and such afterwards.
But the other aspect, of course, is there's a tremendous strong affinity to Scottish music, and as you say, there's the reels and the jigs, and there's an intertwining between Scottish and Irish in every respect.
Yeah, and historically, I think we came from the same junket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you go back to when it was called Dalriada.
Yes.
Days long ago, so there's an instant connection with Cape Bretoners when they go to Ireland, and we're actually a lot closer in nature to the Irish today than to the Scotch today, except for in the Highlands, because most of the mainland Scottish people are Anglified in quite a bit of their cadence and how they speak, so of course the music has that too.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear a Strathspey played in Cape Breton, it's there's still a a rhythm to it, whereas a Scotsman today would play it with a much different lilt.
Okay.
And if you go to Ireland and you hear an Irishman play a Strathspey, which is a foreign tempo tune, they'll still play it more like a Cape Bretoner than a Scotsman.
Right. When it comes to something then like the pipes, because the pipes, there's a very big difference to the Irish pipes, the Uilleann pipes and the Scottish pipes.
I must say I'm fond of the Scottish pipes myself, but that's, you know, I love listening to Irish pipes, but if I had to choose one, I like Scottish pipes.
Right. And from the point of view of how they integrate with the type of music that you like to produce?
The biggest issue for a fiddle player is that pipes are in another pitch altogether, the Scottish ones. They're tuned up higher.
Right.
So I've recorded pieces like that. Brenda Stubbard was one of them. But you have to tune your fiddle up really high to be right in the right tuning. Whereas the Irish pipes are set pretty much at a standard 440 pitch.
Right.
So it's easier to actually record with an Irish piper. And I've learned that from, of course, working with Paddy Maloney and hearing him play.
Right.
Now, there are small pipes in Scotland too, but that's another thing altogether.
Now, you mentioned the Chieftains and Paddy Maloney. Excluding the Chieftains, if I were to ask you both Scottish and Irish, who would you put down as influencing you?
Well, Buddy McMaster from Cape Breton, obviously, would be the first one that I was really inspired by, and then Angus Chisholm, who was the main fiddler before that. But out of Ireland and out of Scotland, it's sort of like out of Africa. I mean, it's far away for me as far as a kid being inspired.
Yeah.
I listen to it and I absorb at this stage some of the ideas for how the modern arrangements go. And the people who have done arrangements for river dance and that sort of thing, you learn about how tunes can fit into things. But as far as who the traditional players are, I'm only learning daily. You know, you go on the YouTube now and type in All Ireland and you'll see who the young fiddler is today over there. So it's sort of like I'm still an outsider to that stuff.
Right.
Sean Keane would probably be the one that, as far as fiddlers are concerned, I'm inspired by having watched him perform on stage and learned from the first time I heard him what it was to be a master.
Yeah.
He's the cat.
The other thing is, on this side in Canada, right from Newfoundland to the Pacific coast, but particularly when you hit New Brunswick, Cape Breton, over into Ontario, Quebec, very rich in fiddle music.
Of course, yeah. You got Glengarry, Ontario, and then you got the Quebecois music, and Ned Landry, and Ivan Hicks, New Brunswick, and everywhere you go, there's a distinctive difference in what, not necessarily the rhythm, but how the tunes are strung together. And we were taught in Cape Breton when we were young to play your tunes like a Cape Bretoner, right? And as much as we had listened to other fiddlers and stuff, that was sort of the way it was, to keep the style there. And I'm sure it's the same in Glengarry or in Quebec or anywhere else. But now, with my opportunities that I have, as you say, to make it a career, I get to perform on stage with Métis fiddlers and all kinds of Canadian fiddlers. And I think if you watch next year, people are going to be quite excited about some stuff that's going to happen as far as cross-country Canadian fiddlers. I've had a few ideas under my hat that are coming to fruition.
That's a good note for us to wrap up, because I know you have a plane to catch. And I want to thank you for taking the time to come here on the Gaelic Hour.
Thank you very much.
And that, of course, was Ashley MacIsaac. And you are listening to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I have Eamon O'Loughlin in studio with me. Good morning, Eamon, and welcome to the Gaelic Hour.
Good morning. It's great to be here, Austin, and the morning after the night before, the big wedding, the royal wedding.
That's right. When everybody was out in fine style.
Well, it sure looked like it, because in the church, I went and I counted the number of pews, and I figured there was about 30 on each side. And if you put 10 people in each pew, because there wasn't an empty spot, there was definitely 600 people in the church.
It reminded you of going to Mass in this time, huh?
Yes, but I was usually up in the balcony with the choir.
But that was where you could count the pews.
Yes, you could, yeah.
I must say, I noticed that Frank Cassidy was down there and Dennis Alexander. And Frank and Dennis were here with me 2 weeks ago, and they have their new CD out, Sweet Melodies. And we'll lead into the commercial break with one of the tracks from the CD. And of course, as I say, it is called Sweet Melodies, and it's Alexander's all-time band. And this is track number 8 called Kingdom Come, Crooked Stovepipe, and a nice bit of traditional music.
Bringing the sounds of the world to your radio.
The Monterey Inn is your premier choice for an exceptional stay in a resort setting along the Rideau River, close to the airport and a short journey to the nation's capital. The Monterey Inn offers a host of features for the discerning visitor that includes meeting and conference facilities, an outdoor heated pool and a fitness center. Drop in and enjoy the fine dining experience of La Bodega Lounge. The Monterey Inn at 2259 Prince of Wales Drive, 613-288-3500 or www.monterey.ca.
The little Irish village in the heart of the Byward Market had its humble beginnings in 1992 with the now famous Heart and Crown. A second venue, the Snug Pub, since 1997. And then there's Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, the Black Rose. Since 2001, they complete the Irish village, each a treasure in its own way. Visit the Irish village. We can accommodate groups of all sizes. Private seating areas, spacious patios, and party rooms. Tell us about your special event and we will take care of the rest. 613-562-0674.
I've been mentioning that Maureen Maher is putting a group, a bus together to go down to Grosseal at the beginning of August. That's the weekend of August 1st. And it's a 26-seater bus, and I understand there's 20, 21 people have committed already. So there's only 5 or 6 seats available if you want to get in on that trip. And I know it'll be a tremendous opportunity. I remember seeing an email during the week with the cost associated with it, and it's somewhere in the... It's less than $350, as far as I recall. Maureen's number is 613-226-7809 if you'd like to get on board that bus. And the other thing I want to mention is, and I have been mentioning, is the Embassy of Ireland will be holding a 70th celebratory event sometime during the year later on. The embassy was established 70 years ago, and they're looking for any memorabilia somebody might have, photographs that have former ambassadors or residences, or that may have some keynote events. And Paula Molloy at the embassy is looking after that. Eamon, welcome back to the Gaelic Hour here. We're talking to Eamon O'Loughlin. He's now on board and we've got him. We gave him a bit of time to wake up and have his coffee.
I had my Starbucks.
Yeah, just
only because Tim Hortons wasn't open.
And there was no Bewleys.
No Bewleys.
No Bewleys. Of course, we have to talk about what brought you up for the weekend, as you say, was this wonderful wedding. And congratulations to Pat and Laurie, if you happened. And I doubt very much if Pat and Laurie are awake at this hour of the morning.
Probably not. But yes, it was great to be part of such an affair. I met Pat and for the first time Laurie at a big event in Toronto just about 4 or 5 weeks ago. It was the 50th anniversary of St. Vincent's Hurling and Football Club down there, which was a great night, and Pat and Laurie were down there, and typical Pat, sure, why don't you come up to the wedding? And so here we are, and right. I think he gave out a lot of invitations like that, so I'm sure Laurie was wondering, oh my God, who's going to show up? And anyway, we did show up.
She was probably very grateful that he didn't end up going on a cross Canada tour for any reason.
just as well, because the church was pretty full.
Although I must say, some of Pat's trips could be sponsored by Ottawa Tourism at this stage.
Yes, well, the name is big here in Ottawa, and we've had a chance over the last 2 days, my wife and I, Madeline. We came up by train, great way to travel, and we've got a nice spot we're staying at the Westin, and we've had a chance to go out and enjoy Ottawa, and of course you can't come to Ottawa without dropping into the Irish village and the many facets of the Irish village, and of course we went to the old Dubliner and the poorhouse, other venues, Pat and Larry Bradley, and I'll tell you, the staff in each and every location, just amazing, great and friendly people, and food great, and pricing, in comparison to Toronto, I'll tell you, very, very good value.
Right. Eamon, some of my listeners know you quite well, particularly the ones that are involved in cultists. Not everybody does, but you host a show down in Toronto on Fairchild.
Fairchild Radio every Saturday morning. I'm on a Chinese radio station. You're on the multicultural one. And of course, the one we're on has 27 different languages as well. And, so yes, every Saturday morning from 11 to 12. And, it's available on the net, www.fairchildradio.com. So we'd love to have, your listeners, dropping in to listen to us. And we give out your information on our show as well, Austin. So yeah,
are you Twittering yet?
No, I've been called a twit from time to time. It was I'm not as tech savvy as you, my friend, but slightly older as well. So we're getting there. Yeah, yeah.
Because you have to use all these tools to try and get the word out.
For sure.
Of course, the other thing that you have been involved in for many years, aside from all the aspects of the Irish community that you're involved in Toronto, but you were publishing for a number of years a magazine down there that you've taken from being a Toronto magazine, Irish Connections, from being Toronto to being a national magazine. We had the first edition here a few months back, and the second edition as between you and the printer at this stage.
Absolutely, yes. For many, many years, we published the Toronto Irish News, and basically it serviced the Irish community in the greater Toronto area, and we saw opportunities and, requests from people from other parts of Canada to say, hey, look, we'd like to get our story out there, what we're doing and what's happening in our community, And in March, we came out with the inaugural edition, Irish Connections Canada, and our website is irishcanadamag.com, if anyone wants to look that up. And we're in the midst of putting together our July edition. It's an Irish quarterly, three times a year.
That's because there's no such thing as an Irish turdly.
Turdly, right. Much more difficult to say. We'll have our next edition beginning of August, and the next one then will be Christmas. So it's March.
July, August. So kind of spring, summer, and winter.
And winter, yeah. And that seems to work for the community. And once we opened the possibilities of stories from places outside of Toronto, it really didn't take long to get the stories, because there's a lot of great Irish-Canadian communities out there across the land who want to tell their stories, and there's a lot of history that's actually coming out, and I'm just so delighted. My biggest dilemma at the moment is space.
Yeah.
To get all these stories in, because I just can't fit everything. So that's the good news, because what I can't get in this edition, most of the stories have a good shelf life. Because it's not breaking news. You know, when you're three times a year, there's no point in looking for the breaking news, because, well, people are getting it on the net immediately anyway. So this magazine will tend to be in lots of way. A little bit of historical in nature, where we've been and where we're going, hopefully.
And, excuse me, the feedback from the first edition was positive in every respect. I must say, the kind of comments I heard were that this is a quality magazine, that it's quality content, and that it was a quality production. And that's what you need to hear back, because, you know, when anything like this, when you try and put something out there, if the content is good, but you present it in what would be inferior paper, or if you have real glossy paper and there's no real content, you know, that it's to hit the balance where you had the content, you had the quality in the paper, and you had everything, and it was good.
Yes, I'll tell you, we've been very lucky with the quality of writers we have, and, you know, most of it is volunteer, and I'd like to take my hat off here, my Galway Bay FM hat, in fact, it's getting pretty faded now, but to a man that has worked with me in Toronto not just on the magazine, but he does our Irish news every week, and he's well known in this community, Desmond Devoy. And Desmond works for the Now Group.
Now EMC or something.
Now EMC up here, so I'm sure you've seen his name around. He lives in Smiths Falls, but he works in Ottawa every day. So he's been my main writer for the magazine for many years, and he continues to amaze me with the great stories and the great writing he comes up with.
Mm-hmm. So in the coming edition, I know before we get in list of some of the stuff, we have a local contribution in there with a bit of history, and I got to introduce you to the author of that last night.
Absolutely, it was great to meet Cathal Lynch, and Cathal, he wrote a great story for us, and it's about the history in the, close to the Ottawa area here, Leitrim Road. I'm not familiar with the place myself, but it basically talks about the people, the ancestors who came from Leitrim way, way back, and how they settled the area. And it's called the Leitrim Road, and it's called Leitrim, from Leitrim, Ireland, to Leitrim, Ottawa.
Yeah, what's fascinating around here, and I know one of the things Cathal covers in that, or he did in his study on that, is that there are two churches, one at each end, as I understand it. One's a Catholic and one's a Protestant, and that the communities from Leitrim congregated literally at opposite ends of the road to some degree. But what I found fascinating when I came here was that I was amazed to find that Navan was out the road, and the way to get into Navan was along the Trim Road. And like the other side, we have Antrim. So there are so many names of places from back home.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, we've got, what, 3 million Irish Canadians out there across the land, and the stories that are out there are just amazing. We have a story in this edition. Desmond Devoy actually wrote it. It's about John Palliser, and it's called How the West Was Mapped. And he was an Irishman that went out west way, way back, mapped a lot of Western Canada. And one of the guys who put up the money for him, his name was John Ball, who was also an Irishman. And there's a range in the Rockies now called the Ball Range. And there's areas out in Western Canada named after John Palliser, who was who was a Waterford man. So it's you know, there's all you have to do is just look around, search a little bit, and those great Irish stories, Irish Canadian stories, are there.
Right. What else have you coming up in the July edition?
Well, many stories. One I think will appeal to Irish Canadians who are not sure where their roots came from or who've been here a long time, longer than you and I, Austin. And it was a French Canadian lady that wrote this for us, Elizabeth Lapointe. She's into genealogical research. And it's called Discovering Your Irish Canadian Roots. And there's some great information in there as to, where to go to find those roots. We've got stories about the Hamilton Irish Club, and that goes back to the 1830s, one of the oldest clubs in Canada. We've stories from Newfoundland about the Festival of the Sea, which is the festival that connects Newfoundland with Ireland, mostly Wexford. And that's a festival that happens either in Newfoundland or in Wexford every second year. We talk about another story, the Celtic Connection, which is a newspaper out of Vancouver and the people behind that. We have a couple of stories about Ireland Park in Toronto, which continues to be a place, a hallowed place and a place where things are happening, and even people who go there, a non-Irish perspective on Ireland Park, which is quite an interesting story. We have a story about Michael McAteer. It's and again, this one was written by Desmond Devoy, and this one is called An Irishman in Midst of Lawsuit. And Michael McAteer is a man. He used to be the religion editor for the Toronto Star for many years. He's retired now. He's in his 70s, but he just refuses to take that oath of allegiance to Her Majesty, and he's in the midst of a lawsuit, and he's going places with that by the looks of it. We have a story about the Vancouver Gaelic Irish school in Vancouver, and we have a story quite interesting. My wife Madeline, who's our assistant editor, we were called upon by the embassy, by Declan Kelly, Ambassador Kelly, and Carl Gardner, who were unable to come to Toronto for an event there about three or four weeks ago. And the event had to do with the Irish Palatines, who were a group that settled in Ireland over 300 years ago. And they've been in Canada 300 years now, so they were celebrating 300 years. And they were a group that settled, they were Methodists, that settled in County Limerick. And many of them came to Canada 300 years ago. So we have the story about the Palatine's 300th anniversary, many of them here in Canada and have done well. So it's amazing the stories that are out there. We have a story about initially, Toronto was named Dublin. And in the official records, before it became York, before it became Toronto, it was actually called Dublin.
You know, when you mention tracing your Irish roots, I should mention, by the way, that John Grenham, and John Grenham is a professional genealogist, and he'll be over from Ireland, and he will be at a Ben Franklin place on Centrepoint, and that's on Sunday the 9th of August, and he is talking about tracing your Irish roots, and he will also be here on the show with me on that morning live. So tickets for that are available at $10 through Vifisco's. That's the British Isles Family History Society of Greater Ottawa. Lots of genealogical stuff going on. We'll take a short break, and what I'm going to play is a piece of music by the Dublin City Ramblers. And Sean McGuinness was on here with me a few weeks ago. We were chatting, and we played The Flight of the Earls. And I had mentioned to Sean when we were chatting, this CD had not yet been released, and they had been asked to re-release The Flight of the Earls in view of the economic crisis that now exists in the Western world and is affecting Ireland. And we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the impact that you're seeing on that, Eamon. This is The Flight of the Earls from a new CD by Dublin City Ramblers called Their All-Time Greatest Hits.
I can hear the bells of Dublin in this lonely waiting room, and the paper boys are singing in the rain. Not too long before they take us to the airport and the noise, to get on board a transatlantic plane. We have nothing left to stay for, we have no more left to say, and there isn't any work for us to do. So farewell, you boys and girls, another bloody flight of earls. Our best asset is our best export too. It's not murder, fear or famine that makes us leave this time. We're not going to join McAlpine's fusiliers. We've got brains and we've got vision, we've got education too, but we just can't throw away these precious years. So we walk the streets of London and the streets of Baltimore, and we meet at night in several Boston bars. We're the leaders of the future, but we're far away from home, and we dream of you beneath the Irish stars. Island and the lady in the bay, and Manhattan turns to face another Sunday. We just wonder what you're doing to bring us all back home, as we look forward to another Monday. Because it's not the work that scares us, we don't mind an honest job, and we know things will get better once again. So 1,000 times adieu, we've got Bono and you too. All we're missing is the Guinness and the rain. So switch off your old computers, 'cause the writing's on the wall. We're leaving as our fathers did before. Take a look at Dublin Airport, or the boat that leaves Northwall. There'll be no youth unemployment anymore. Because we're over here in Queensland and in parts of New South Wales, we're on the seas, the airways and the trains. But if we see better days, those big airplanes go both ways, and we'll all be coming back to you again.
And that was Dublin City Ramblers and The Flight of Earls from their new CD, All Time Greatest Hits. And of course, they had that out years ago, but they updated some of the lyrics, Eamon, you heard there.
Yeah, you know, when they start talking about the computers and, well, it's deja vu all over again, isn't it?
That's right, that's right. Are you seeing much in Toronto?
Yes, yeah, way too much. But, you know, it's great to see the new blood, the young blood coming to Toronto again. The only sad part is that some of them, too many of them are coming without
proper paperwork.
And the thing is, you know, you meet them on the weekends at the various locations and events that are on, you know, to come to see the... They come to see the GAA games, let's say, at the Galway Arms, and you see them there on a Sunday morning, and they're networking. They're doing the best they can to meet people who can help them. And, you know, the GAA and the games really, there's a great wealth of people there that always will help people out when they can. But, you know, there's the insurance issues and the legality of guys coming over now that just don't have their ducks in a row in regards to the paperwork. And there's really nothing anyone can do for them. No. So, you know, if there's anyone listening out there on the net that happen to be over in Ireland listening to you,
Or if you have a relative in Ireland that is considering coming over.
Yeah, there's no point in coming without the paperwork in line. And I have... actually been speaking with Ambassador Pat Benz, the Canadian ambassador to Ireland, who's a wonderful man, former premier of PEI, and he loves the Irish and he loves being in Ireland. And he, you know, he said if we can just get that message out over here at all, do not come unless you've got your paperwork in line, because you'll be going back again. And I see the summer students, even the summer students who have their paperwork in line and they have that permit to work for the summer. But I'm afraid there's very few jobs this summer in Toronto anyway. And a lot of them are going back early because they just can't get jobs. And, you know, everyone is trying to help them out as much as possible. But it's tough.
And, of course, that's the big difference that we're hearing everywhere, that over previous... what would have been migrations out, there was opportunity outside of Ireland. This time, it's just the difficulties are everywhere, so there isn't anywhere to go. And I know one of the things I heard recently, that Canada is looked on as the land of opportunity relative to other countries at the moment.
Absolutely. That's the word in Ireland now, that, you know, that I'm getting over the emails from friends, relatives, and just, you know, listening to some of the media over in Ireland. Canada now seems to be the chosen land over America or Australia. And but, you know, there are definitely pockets of opportunity in Canada still, but they're probably not in Toronto or maybe even Ottawa, but there may be areas out west where there are opportunities in various trades, especially. So I think if the folks have to do their homework and reach out, I think there's opportunities still to come to Canada.
But, you know, it's interesting when you said that, because one of the things that we all tend to do is we go where we know somebody. And, you know, that's what draws people to be at Ottawa or Toronto, because the neighbour or the cousin or the uncle or somebody is there. And the difficulty is always breaking in then to a strange area where there may be opportunity. And this is why it's so important, I suppose, for networking, why even when you're here in Ottawa, that there's a network that can exist between Ottawa and Toronto, and that we can build bridges between here, Montreal, Edmonton, Vancouver. And just it's who you know, in order to pick up the phone and say, is there anything going on out there? I have some guy who has just arrived over and he's looking for an opportunity.
Sometimes, you know, that's all it takes is just that first introduction. And because then the ball starts rolling. And if there's anything there, it will be found in general. And, you know, there is great networking goes on between the various communities, whether it's through the Ireland Canada Chamber of Commerce, where we have... there's a chapter in Montreal. We're doing a story on that in this next edition. And there's a chapter in Toronto. There's a chapter in Edmonton. We're doing a story on Edmonton. And we're connecting with Winnipeg and Vancouver. So this magazine, for I believe, is building those bridges across Canada. And we send this magazine back to the Irish Embassy, to the Canadian Embassy in Dublin. No sooner will it be out of the box here in Canada, it'll be in the Canadian Embassy in Dublin to help people as well. And we hope the magazine can help people, because, you know, we depended on that help ourselves when we came That's here right. day one, and it was always great to get that little helping hand from somebody.
One of the important questions, and we had a phone call there while we were listening to the Dublin City Ramblers from the one listener I have.
But she's a lovely listener. She's one of my favourites in Ottawa.
And the question was, where does somebody get their hands on the magazine? And I have to tell you that if you have a subscription, and if you sign up for the Irish Society, part of the membership for this coming year certainly will include the copy of Irish Connections Canada. And hopefully then that will attract some memberships, and it will allow the Irish Society also to grow further, and that they can continue to provide it. But if someone is not a member and they want to get their subscription, how did they do so?
Well, they can go on the website, and we connect with them, and we'll certainly look after them. This magazine, Austin, it's more a labor of love. We're not in it to lose money, and you know, we're hoping to make a little bit, but we'll never get rich doing it. But it certainly is a labor of love, and we want to hear the stories of Irish Canadians, and so far, so good. We're getting a great response, and all these stories, in one way or another, they're very interesting, and especially if you have a little bit of a sense of history, and I think if we don't know where we've been, we won't know where we're going. And,
certainly.
You know, so I think it's important for that next generation who may not necessarily have the direct connection with the old country,
right.
You know.
And the other thing you can do if you want is you can give me a call, send me an email. And, of course, my email address, I didn't announce it at the start of the show today, is austin@thegaelichhour.ca. My website is thegaelichhour.ca. And, Eamon, your email address?
My email address is olcomm, so that's short for O'Loughlin Communications. So it's olcomm@rogers.com, and our website is www.irishcanadamag.com. And I want to just say hello there, out there to that one listener you have, Maureen Maher, who looked radiant last night.
And, well...
As she always does.
That's correct. I Maureen, I do want to thank you for taking the time to call in this morning as well. At least we know you got out of bed, and we don't know that. We know you set the alarm on, you turned on, because in order to listen here on this Sunday morning to Chin 97.9 FM and the Gaelic Hour. Eamon, I want to thank you for getting out of bed at this hour as well and coming in.
No problem, no. I'm going back up to the hotel doing about 50 laps in the pool.
And thanks
for everything.
And after the 50 laps, you might go in for a swim.
I might go for a pint of Guinness. There you go. So, Oliver, Austin, thanks a million for the time. And as always, great to see you and Mary. And you're doing amazing work here in this town, so keep it up.
And this program should be available, hopefully within about an hour it should be up as a podcast, and that will be on thegaelichhour.ca. I'll be here with you tomorrow night at 10 p.m. and we'll have a music-filled program. And the other thing I do want to mention quickly, on Saturday the Ottawa Gaels have playing Michael Cusack's, the ladies at 1 p.m. and I see the men are versus St. Vincent's at 2:30, and of course that's out at Uplands. So until tomorrow night at 10 p.m. this is Austin Cameron here on the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 saying Slán go fóill.
Canada's capital, this is CJLL, Ottawa Gatineau's multicultural radio voice, broadcasting in over 20 different languages, serving 40 ethno-cultural communities. This is Chin Radio, 97.9.